I'm sitting at Lucy's desk at her college, her September desk pad calendar, marked with her neat, artistic printing, in black ink, says, Mom comes to New York City on the 7th, and school starts on the 5th, and library books due on the 15th. What a grand dorm apartment she has, French doors onto their balcony, a view, if you crane your neck, almost into a park from the balcony, a Parisian feel. She's well aware it's undoubtedly the best place she'll ever be privileged to inhabit in New York City. A cup of tea, this sunny room, the silence of the sleeping girls, I mean young women, elsewhere in the apartment, and two doses of Tylenol have made me feel better. I woke at 4, headachy. Lucy's room is still quite a mess as she's only just getting settled. The apartment is really wonderful for these girls, I mean young women's, purposes. It's only disadvantage that long, dark railway hall, though here at the end of it in Lucy's room, the sun pours in. I'm in a strange world, yet it's my daughter's. I had said to her after my very first visit to her at college 3 years ago, for this is her last year, and she'll never be coming home to live with us again, never again. I said to her, imagine that you came to see me, but I was in a new place, surrounded by people you didn't know, with a life you had no part of. That was how I had felt 3 years ago, an outsider to one who had grown inside me. But happily, it's not that first year's first visit. Lucy and I took the subway here from Matt's place in Brooklyn. Matt has been on his own now for long enough that I'm more used, mostly, to seeing him only occasionally, and to his having a life I'm not part of. Once, the phone rang, and a man's voice I didn't recognize said, Hello. And I said, Who is this, please? And the man said, Remember a hot day in August, a lot of pain, and then a burst of new life? I laughed. Oh, Matt! I dreamt recently of Matt, about 4 or 5 years old. I was carrying him on my hip, though he was too big for that, across a slippery spot. A man offered to help, said, Why must you carry him yourself? I said I was afraid if someone else did, they might slip. I was less afraid that I would. I put Matt down, and he made his way some distance. And I couldn't always see him, but then he came out into the open. I called him, and he looked up and smiled and came towards me. I felt such happiness and remembered that linking and unlinking of young motherhood, the letting go and reuniting, the deep connection that ensured he'd come when I called, his smile, our pleasure at our reunion. In waking life, the reunion with my grown son and nearly grown daughter unsettles me because it opens doors which have been shut. All the old, deep interrelating, the feeling of shrinking of myself as a person in my own life, and the return of myself as the person as mother. Lucy still sometimes cuddles up to me, mostly a matter of head nuzzling in her arms, as the rest of her is too grown. And I kiss her cheek with a mother's hungry kiss because this young woman has the child in her. She wants me to recognize and love the child in her, yet also to let go of that child and recognize the woman in her. Sometimes when I wake at 3 a.m., I worry about Matt's safety and about Lucy's. Their away lives so far, so distant from me in the black night, our mutual life over, closed. Mothering is like a dance, constantly requiring new steps without enough time to learn them. Or a song for which you always need to be learning new words. It hasn't made it any easier when I've always had to make room for their father, Jack, his wife, their two children, my son and daughter's whole other family. I dreamt that I had driven a trainload of people home safely through difficult and dangerous territory. But no one acknowledged or thanked me when we reached the end of the journey. They all went their ways, and I wandered around wondering if anyone even knew I had been the conductor. But then I thought, everyone expects the train to get them there safely. It's not something they would think to thank you for. I never realized that having your children grow up would be the same deep ache as the end of a beautiful love affair. I feel left out, neglected by my children who are so busy with their lives, as they should be, as I want them to be, and yet, so that all the way downtown to the opera with Ben, I had wept and spoke of feeling worn down by being a mother, used up and set aside like an old toy. But the sights of the great city cheered me and reminded me of the great other life, everything other than children and your or their upset over however you have failed them, of Ben's and my life together, apart from them, of all the many interesting things to do still that don't have anything to do with your children, books, work, classes, friends, happy love, trips, curiosity, accomplishments, things to write and read and see and do. And in the magnificent opera house with its eternal lamps and golden ceilings, Ben and I had a cup of cappuccino on a chilly night and a fat shared cookie. Our pleasure in being there together. I don't really like opera, except for La Boheme. The stories seem cartoonish and sexist. The women always lose. But I like Ben's pleasure in it and holding his warm hand in the dark. The leaves are mostly down in our backyard. And in the front, those same yellow leaves that marked nearly all the autumns of Lucy's and some of Matt's school years. And the light in our bedroom is yellow from the leaves outside. When Matt left for college, then Lucy, I was always feeling the undercurrent of loss, of their absence. Now I'm mostly used to it, and it even seems long ago that they ever lived here. The green draperies in Ben's and my bedroom dim the room so pleasantly. Fresh air billows them slightly. The sound of children playing in the neighborhood drifts in, comforting and faint. Beyond our bedroom door, our house stands empty and private, lamps burning in our rooms. Graham Greene, in his novel Our Man in Havana, says to someone who's grieving, "You are interested in a person, not in life, and people die or leave us. But if you are interested in life, it never lets you down." Ben and I go for a stroll in our darkening neighborhood. Our four-year-old neighbor, William, is out raking with his little rake next to his mother. A boy on a bike is riding round and round. A woman sits on her porch with her cat. A child calls his dog. We admire some bittersweet and deep russet autumn flowers, the yards that are carefully tended, and amble along a middle-aged couple whose children have grown.